Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
On BGN Radio, the great BGN Radio, we are debuting a new show. You might know me, Seamus Clancy, from the Bleachers on BGN Radio and BleedingGreenNation.com. But now I am joined by a legendary, dare I say, figure in the Philadelphia sports online community world.
Oh, man.
You definitely know who he is. Tweets by Zoe. Zoe, my man, my fellow prepper. I'm excited to do this. I don't have a podcast with a guest currently. Running solo and from the bleachers. Had Doc on today. But somehow, this is the person I'm most excited to talk to today. Zoe, you excited for this?
Dude, I'm beyond excited, man. I know a little background for our soon-to-be faithful listeners. We've been talking about something like this forever. So I'm super pumped that we got a chance to finally put it together. You know, shout out to BGN, shout out to you, shout out to everybody who was just like, yeah, you're gonna do awesome on that show. So hell yeah, man, let's get to it.
So what I saw, Eagles opened up. We're gonna do some gambling stuff, kind of a gambling focused show with the name, but me and Zoe, it's gonna be a lot of BS and shooting the bull and kind of discussing like Philly culture too, in terms of what, you know, get that fan response from Twitter and stuff like that too. It's doing a little bit of everything. What do you think this weekend? Eagles opened up home underdogs, which seems to happen way too often here.
Yeah.
And opened up with a line of +3.5, which I think is like whenever you see a home team +3.5, like you have to hop on that. It's already, the line's already dropped to +3. So I think people might have been hammering it.
Yeah.
And early vibe, and it goes based off that line, because I feel like that's an Eagles line, and if someone, they're hammering the Eagles, so we'll see what that means. But did you see today on Twitter, it's announced for Saturday, 49ers fans are doing a trip to the Art Museum, Minnesota Vikings 38-7 style.
All I can do was laugh. I laughed so hard. One, because it's like, how many times do we have to tell people, dog? Like, this is not the city to mess with that kind of stuff. Like, I know sometimes we get carried away with the Rocky stuff and the Rocky Steps stuff. But
I don't care about the Rocky Steps. I care about, like, the sheer disrespect.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Rocky, but I don't give a damn about the steps.
Like,
I mean,
the sheer party atmosphere, we're going to the Rocky Steps, like, that's just utter disrespect. So, unfortunately, or fortunately for us, we just got to come out and punch you in the mouth on Sunday. And also, I think their fans are also riding a little high because of that win last week. But let's be,
it's a moral loss.
I was gonna say it's a moral loss because you let them come all the way back. Also, thanks to our fellow prepper DeAndre Swift, who got me some points with a huge touchdown run. And second of all, like they didn't look that good.
I sincerely thought the Lions are the worst team, at least the worst in NFC. I think they actually might be worse than the Texans.
Yo, no bullshit. All bullshit aside, excuse me. Yeah, they might be. They don't look that good at all. Like DeAndre's going to be the bell cow, and like bless his heart, it's going to be a long season for him because that team, they don't look good.
It might be one of those running back seasons where he has 1,400 yards and they win three games. Everyone who plays fantasy football adores him, but no one actually knows who he is because he's stuck in Detroit, which we've seen with a lot of stars there over the years.
Shout out Megatron.
Yeah. I'm thinking about going on Saturday. I bought a portable mic this summer when the Sixers were still good. Like I was going to try to like hit up, like sit like around City Hall or something and walk around and interview people. Might have to take a bus down there to the right down Spring Garden, the Art Museum.
That's not
see what the vibe is.
It's going to be really nice on Saturday, too.
Crisis actor.
Yeah, show up with a...
I show up with, like, crutches already.
I'm about to say show up with crutches and a big-ass fake bandage on your forearm.
Yeah. Got the neck roll like I'm in court for an accident.
I'm trying to see what's up. I'm just checking the site, seeing what's going on. They won't suspect a thing.
Be like, at what point Sunday do you think, what time do you think you will realize this was a bad idea?
Oh, it's always funny to me when out of towners realize how nuts and football craze and sports craze in general our city is, because they'll always, the first thing they do when they get interviewed is say like, oh yeah, they're serious about their sports. Like other cities are serious. Like shout out to them. My brother-in-law lives in Chicago. And Chicago's obviously huge.
The cold cities get it. Like I think the Northeast, Boston, the Philly gets it, and Chicago's the same way. But otherwise, it's just a different. It's not the same.
Like you're chilling. If I live somewhere where it was 80 degrees on Christmas, I can't say I would care about who's playing on Christmas Day. Like I wouldn't care. I'd be at the beach.
Yeah, Capelli moved to San Diego and has just quit Twitter. He just living the life there.
Quit Twitter. I mean, just the ultimate act of one.
He has the ultimate IG now.
I love him to death. His IG is great. He's growing. I think he's growing plants and vegetables and shit. I mean, he's just living the life. And congrats to him, a newlywed. So
newlywed too. Yeah,
the dude is just living. I think he ushered the Sixers out of his life. He's truly living the dream.
I thought him quitting Sixers Twitter and them getting the ones, he was like, oh, because he quit and moved, win now. We had season tickets during the process, and I was like, oh, him like disassociating is what's going to actually make them win. But did not happen.
So I had season tickets during the process. I thought we all did, right? I was
making, you know, $20 a week or whatever in college, and I could still afford the season tickets.
Yeah, right. Like
$11 at the seat.
I was at the infancy of my marketing career, and I was like, "Yeah, how can I afford season tickets and still be paying all my bills?" So I was like, "Fuck it, whatever, I'll go." So, when they finally got the one seed, right, I was like, "Damn, maybe all those years are finally worth it." And then. Jokes on
turns us. Out they weren't. Turns out they weren't.
Jokes on us. Whatever. 13 days to training camp.
Did you hit any bets this past weekend? It's a shame. I got my girlfriend Ashley. She doesn't like. She makes some money. She'll do those free bets where that it have to be in the season where it's like, oh, the buck spreads +74 if you bet $50, and she'll just run with that money. Shout so she Ed. Made some money off that. I had like two or three hit. What did you get?
So I hit one that I'm super proud of. It was in the Ravens and Raiders game, which was nuts. As everybody said, so I hit the over on Lamar Jackson's passing. It was 214. I hit the over on that. I hit the over on his rushing. It was 75.5.
Okay.
Marquise Brown, thank you, Hollywood. I hit the over on his receiving yards.
That was 75 too, wasn't it?
It was 52.5.
52, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then I hit the over on Darren Waller's receiving yards. Their best offensive player, probably. And I hit the over on Henry Ruggs III's receiving yards. That was 38.5.
Shout out to the Bama boys.
Like I was telling my buddy before I hopped on, Lamar's passing yards like hit like kind of late, like right before overtime. So that was the one that did it for me. That was a great opening week. Opening weekend last year, I did so shitty. I didn't hit anything, dude. That was really, really fun though.
That was the first time I had an NFL bet, I think, since I guess like Hurts' first or second start, I smashed his rushing yards. It was like the first start against the Saints, he had like 102 or 108 or something, and it was 57.5. That's obviously the one all Eagles fans are probably going to like have fun with this year. That's the most fun you could bet if you have a fun rushing quarterback. And I've kind of been monitoring it. It opened for week one at 39.5, which was outrageous on DraftKings.
Yeah.
By the time the game started. It was at 49.5. So it jumped. I think people jumped on that. Finished with 62. This week, I saw it open at 49.5 on DraftKings. Got to 50.5 at one point. Now back down to 48.5. He didn't run necessarily as much as I thought he was going to. There was less design runs. I think it's a conscious decision for him and the coaching staff. They want him to throw more. But I don't think it's in the way that, you know, Donovan McNabb went out of his way to be a pocket quarterback. He didn't want the associates as a runner. I think it speaks to his development as a passer. And they know 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, when things go to hell, he can go out and get 9-10 yards and pick up the first down, which he did a couple different times.
Yeah.
That he's just cruising as a passer right now, though.
And when I feel like when he's that confident, there's no reason to stir anything, right? So his pocket was clean for most, not all the game. The offensive line was incredible. I mean, that pass, the touchdown pass to Goddard, like Baldy, I don't know if you saw Baldy's breakdown, it was the greatest pass he threw all game. But even then, like his pocket, he hit a clean pocket, he hit his reads properly. I mean, he stepped up and just fucking hit a dot. So when he's throwing like that, like, I don't even care. Like, just keep passing it. And then the good thing, though, and the reason why you're comfortable with him, and two, the reason why you're comfortable with taking that bet is all it takes is one missed block, and he's got a jet, and it's a 40-yard run. You know what I mean? Like, when you ever run a quarterback, that always exists. That threat is always there. So, like, if somebody gets loose, which happens, it's the NFL. So if somebody gets loose and I got a burn, I may hit it for 35, or I may hit it for 20, or it may turn out to be a drive where they're blitzing three in a row. So, you know, we gotta check down, or we gotta jet a couple of times. I've run on that drive alone for 40 yards. So, like, that kind of stuff is gonna happen with a quarterback who is comfortable with using his feet.
I was wondering what his rushing touchdown total was going to look like this year, because a lot of bets I saw for him were total touchdown bets before this season. And I could have seen it. He's not as good as a runner of either of these two guys, but stylistically, he's more Cam Newton than Lamar Jackson. He doesn't have that elusiveness and quickness. He's more, while he's fast, obviously, he's a little bit more stronger, not as big as Cam, obviously, but more in that physical role. So I thought it could be a situation where he gets 6 or 7 rushing touchdowns. I don't know if they're going to use him as much as a runner in the red zone as I thought, because I think when he excels as a passer, like you see with a lot of mobile quarterbacks, is when he's kind of on the run, rolling out, and the play like he found Goddard for in that touchdown. That's a situation where you think he might tuck and run, but it seems to me that might be his best use as a passer overall. And they're going to use the running backs. I mean, Kenny Gainwell had a red zone touchdown. We thought he might be the 3rd or 4th string running back. And he's definitely the number two, man. I love him.
I love him. He's confident. He runs hard too. I think the proper mix of him and Booby is really, really fun to watch. I love both. They both run really, really hard. But they're also
Miles ran good. Miles ran good. I mean, they're definitely different. I thought when Miles got his touches.
Yep. Anyway, I love that. Man, it's also just refreshing to see a offense that's as balanced as they were. You know, like the Hawks, the Atlanta's defense is fucking awful, but they still were off. They're off kilter. They didn't know what was coming, and when they knew what was coming, they still couldn't stop it. Like, that's the sign of an offense that's going to be really good.
Yeah, and I think I kind of talked about something from the bleachers this week, but what I love about Gainwell, besides his own skill and talent, is that it's actually going to make Miles better. Because you saw in the fourth quarter, and they're killing that clock, that defense stunk, but they're even more gassed in that fourth quarter because of how the offensive playing. So Miles gashing them in the fourth quarter. And then they're not even just talking about the fourth quarter of specific games. When it comes to the fourth quarter of this season itself, that last month where they're reeling off, 4 straight NFC East games, maybe the weather's kind of crappy. He's going to be pounding the rock. They're still going to have Gainwell involved. I love the – what I liked about Sirianni, and I think this is – consensus is it seems like he has confidence in his players to do their specific roles.
Yeah.
You know, Gainwell, really his first time in NFL was like, you're our 2-minute running back, and this is probably you're going to be your role all season, and you might get even more than that. I can see by halfway point of the season, he's the main third down running back overall. I loved it. I just love the execution, the play, the play calling, and just something about the specific play design, just the philosophy and energy that he brought with him. It feels more like 2017 than 2018, 2019, or 2020. That doesn't mean the Super Bowl team, but they won the first game of the year in 2018 and 2019. I don't think any of us felt the kind of feeling and vibe we've had for the last week. And you stayed on the field. When those players are doing group celebrations, that's a sign things are up a different level than you realize. That defensive line kicking the door down reminds me of them doing the slide against the 49ers, coincidentally. And stuff like that, where good vibes right now. And it's all due to Sirianni and Hurts, I think.
I said this about Doc Rivers, but I feel like they look like they're having fun, right? Like they look like they look
yes.
like they're doing their jobs, but they all look like they're having fun doing their jobs, and like you can tell that Sirianni puts that into them. Like, yo, I trust you. I trust you guys to do your job. So let's go, just have fun. And I feel like. When I was writing about the Sixers once, and I was saying, you know, sometimes it doesn't look like they're having fun. I put a lot of that on the coach and his staff. It doesn't look like they're having a good time doing what they're doing, right? And, like, yeah, it's your job. Like, you should also be able to have fun with it because it's a fun thing to do. So I'm also one of those people, like, I love a coach who commands the room, but who also trusts his players. And I feel like after just this first game, you can tell what kind of trust they have in him, what kind of trust that he has in them. Like I love knowing that, like, if they need it, they can probably go down and get 7 instead of having to settle for 3. Like, they're running gun.
Yes.
I know I told you this before, but I am to the T a running gun guy. I hate ground and pound. I hate slow offenses in basketball, and I hate slow offenses in football. I want to let's run till our fucking shoes are on fire. Like I hate
this running. Team has speed everywhere.
That's what I'm. I love yeah. running and gunning, man. Let's just go. Let's everybody everywhere. We're just going. We got hogs up front, and everything else takes care of itself with the speed guys.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Saw this, you're kind of talking about earlier. On DraftKings, they have a prop for 2 Eagles players for longest rush. They have Miles and same number, Miles and Jalen both over 15.5. I'm almost positive they both did that. I know Miles did, and I think Jalen did as well.
Yeah.
I like the Jalen one. It's minus 115 for Jalen and minus 105 for Miles.
Yeah, I like the Jalen one too.
I like it for both of them, really.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying they're both having a 100-buck-50, but they're going to break off runs with this offensive line like that.
I definitely think so. So we talked about it a little bit earlier, but Mayada versus Bosa. Bosa is going to be a battle of the Titans. So, like, you know, I think Mayada is going to more than hold his own, but he's also probably going to, you know, he's going to maybe struggle once or twice. So, yeah. Like we said, all it takes is one play to break down. And, you know, Jalen might be out for 15, 20. I would definitely take that. I would also take Miles gunning one for 20, 25 yards. He does that. I think that's the other thing, too, about him. Like, he is a steady runner. But he also, since Penn State, he's been a guy who could break off 15, 20.
He's a home run hitter for a running back.
He's a he's a steady home run hitter. He's a guy who he works out with other like running backs of his size and stature. He's strong as shit. So he's tough to bring down. So I would definitely take both of those.
One I'm interested in, and we talked about it, speed, running gun. And we saw Jalen do it last season in his 4 starts. We saw him do it this summer. It seemed like his greatest weakness, or greatest strength, I should say, as a passer, was airing it out downfield. And we really didn't see that in week 1. Maybe part of it was Sirianni didn't call that. Maybe Jalen missed those throws and settled for something underneath. Just took what the defense gave him.
Right, yeah.
But I thought a shot downfield to Quez specifically would have maybe been his play on first and second down in the first offensive drive. They did throw to Quez a couple times on those quick little bubble screens, and they were pretty effective. It led them to go downfield and score that touchdown, that pass to Smith. So we did see Quez get involved early that game. And we saw in the preseason game, the one he did play, when they were at their own 2-yard line or whatever it was, they gunned it to him trying to go deep. And Jalen's the one who missed him. Quez was open.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's another.
They like him on those bubble screens and those short outs because he's got very quick feet. Like Quez gets it and he's out. Like he's not bullshitting when he gets the ball. He takes that and then it's peace.
He might have 2 catches for 45 yards or something.
Right.
Because his longest reception is set at 15 and a half. And whether that's a first drive bubble screen that goes for 20 yards or it's a bomb that goes for 64 yards, I feel like he's either getting that all in one play or he's not getting any catches.
Right. Like he's all or nothing. And like I said, sometimes those times he's been missed, it's been Jalen's fault, which is fine. You know, still working that stuff out. But he's a guy who he's another quick home run guy. Like he gets it and then all of a sudden he makes one person miss, which you need to do on those screens, and then it's see you later.
Do you think he'll get fly for doing that this year? I hope he does. I think take the penalty take the vibes and take the penalty.
That's what I love that. I love me a little bit. I like a lot of
stuff. If you don't want to get taunted, don't get shown up to begin with.
Look, listen, what do we say? You don't want to lose by 50, don't lose by 50. Don't let us score. Like exactly. I tell kids I talk to in high school that. I tell anybody that. Like, you don't want to get taunted, then don't let us in the end zone. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry, not sorry.
We got here. Jake Elliott kicking point, 6.5. If you're betting on the kicker stuff, I don't know what you're doing. Maybe it's – I don't know what it's looking like.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
But that just seems like – Jake Elliott went to high school with a couple of my college friends. Maybe they're the people who are going to take it. Jake Elliott, maybe, sort of friend of the program, Jake Elliott.
Close friend of the program, as we say, Jake Elliott. But I don't know if – if you're betting the kicker, we got to have a conversation.
Someone got mad at me on Twitter that I bet the Eagles money line in like the second preseason game because I was going there. Like, you must have real problems. And it was like, dude, it's I took the Eagles money line for like $10 in a preseason game because I haven't been able to bet on them in a year. It's fine. Did see, this is all on DraftKings as well, that Hurts originally his passing and rushing yards combo number earlier in the day. I think I tweeted it out when we're recording this on Thursday night. Right before Thursday night football kicks off, Slot Fest, Washington, New York, it started at 283.5, which I was into, bumped to 287.5.
Yep.
Do you think he can go for 300 this game? Because he did it last year. And is it a situation where they're home and Sirianni, I feel like, has such a sense of awareness of his players, his talent, the city and fan base as well, and that's easy pandering. But he knows he's going into. They did a little hype video today, a mini hype video. They know what they're walking into building. If they get the ball the first possession, they get their touchback, they're at the 25 ready to roll. Roll out, read option, roll out, whatever you want to say it is.
Yo, and he's the pandering king. The second.
It's so easy to pander. It's so easy to pander.
The greatest is obviously Bryce Harper. Shout out to Bryce. And then Sirianni. And then, it's so easy to pander to us, man. Which is – well, we'll get into this another part.
Well, we don't need don't need to talk about him. I think we know who we're talking about. We don't need to talk about
him. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. But we're so easy to pander to. But you're right. That first play, a la, you know, Vic and Deshaun versus Washington, their rollout, and it's a straight bomb. Like, it doesn't even, you know what, like, for me, it doesn't even have to complete, but just try it. Like, the literally first play of offense, just fucking chuck
get a pass interference call or anything. You know?
Yeah, so I don't even care. Like you said, like, take a taunting penalty. Let's just let it rip. It's going to be 86 degrees Sunday, not a cloud in the sky. The link is going to be raucous.
His longest completion's at 36.5 minus 120. That feels pretty fair. I think that's a fair
number. That's fair. I'll take that. That's fair.
I don't know if I hit that, but I think that's a pretty fair number.
Yeah, I think that's fair for me. I'll take that.
Completions 19.5. I don't know. What do you throw? Did he throw 27? Is that what it was this past
week? Yeah, it was 27. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to complete 77 passes every game. He had 27 completions. That's what it was, not passes, on 35 attempts.
So he's not. Yeah, that's a. I mean, that's.
I like that. I feel like he threw that much.
I think that's safe. I'll take that.
Yeah, the odds aren't as great as like the under or Jimmy G over and under. It's minus 125. Not the greatest odds in the world.
It's not the best, but still, I still would fuck with it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. If you could throw it like in the same game parlay as one of your like third or fourth things, that feels like the fun thing to do there, rather than just taking that straight off. I wouldn't do.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I think we see Miles as a receiver much. That was Gainwell, really. And you never know if they're going to use. I don't think Boston Scott got an offensive snap. Could be a mistake. He may have gotten some special teams reps.
Now you got some like I know Rager was back there, but like sometimes
he's the one who should be back there. Like putting Smith back there is insane. But he needs to instill some confidence in the team. Or maybe I should just say the fans that they're comfortable having back in. But that's what I talked about this a couple of times this week, and I feel like I've done this my third podcast today. I've worn the same shirt, same glasses the whole time. I don't want people to think I own one shirt. I bought this shirt specifically like 2 days ago for the Dawkins podcast. So it's the first time I'm wearing it, and it looks like I wear it every day.
Shout out to B-Dawg. I know that was dope, man. I finished almost all of it. That was dope.
Yeah, so the Rager touchdown at the end of the game, I thought that was huge for a guy whose confidence was all over the place as a rookie.
Yeah.
Didn't go in the greatest situation. Definitely had some issues with adjusting to the fan base. You know, kind of one of those it's good and bad at the same time things.
Thank you, Kyrie.
Oh, all right.
We got one guest on the show, our first guest.
We got our first guest.
You have a first guest.
Amari came in. Yeah.
I love it.
Our first
that's what I was wondering. Miles was for combined rushing and receiving yards was over 89.5. I don't really like that.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I think he rushed for 79, I think, on. But I think it's too early to kind of get on him and see what he's doing as a receiver because we just saw the one game. We saw Gainwell out there. We don't know if that's going to be the norm for Gainwell. Is he going to end up playing more because he's showcased so much? Does Sirianni love him? Because it feels like he might be more of his guy because he's a newcomer rather than when Miles was kind of a holdover from the previous regime.
And I think that that's an interesting point because I think that maybe they were the first rule of Gainwell was let's just see what he has. And now that we saw what he has.
You know what he has now.
Right now we know what he has. Let's ride that horse for as long as we can. So I'm not sure how much you can depend on the two RB system, but I'm a fan of it. I think you should preserve them as much as you can.
Exactly.
So I think that it's a nice steady chance. If you're gonna take one chance, that's probably the one I take.
Yeah, I don't hate having Bosco as the third guy if something happens to either of them too. You're not going to rank third running backs, but for an RB3, you know, you could get by with him as RB2, RB3, especially behind those two guys who I think, even now for Gainwell already, is a starting quality running back in this league. And Miles definitely is.
Right.
They have depth at a lot of places on offense. The line itself, with Dickerson coming back, you don't know where he's going to be playing. Even if we wrote about this today on BGN for our mailbag, I don't even know if he necessarily needs to get inserted in the lineup yet. Let him get those reps in practice. And, you know, the obvious replacements for, say, Amalu, but he was PFF's number two pass blocker this week. I thought he looked okay.
I thought he looked okay.
But I can see them – I can see them making that switch if Stoughton likes him that much. But it's a good – I hate the phrase, it's a good problem to have. You shouldn't say that. It's good to have depth. It's good to have starting quality players behind your starters because you know injuries are going to pile up. You have it at tight end. Ertz was a little banged up, but I think he was a full participant in practice today. Again, recording this on Thursday night. And you see the tight end and the running back and the offensive line. And frankly, quarterback too.
And it's a 17-game season, dude. Like, it's the stakes have changed. We saw, again, this, we're recording this on Thursday night, but yesterday we saw that they gave half the a lot of the veterans got the day off. And then ironically, the same day we found out that DeMarcus Lawrence broke his foot in practice. So, like, dude, it's never a bad thing to give guys the day off in preparation for game week or just in general. Man, there's, I mean, we only see what they let us see, but the amount of stuff that they put their bodies through and the amount of reps that they do, you know, in preparation just for a game is ridiculous. So, you know, I know there's a lot of people, mentioned, you know, why are they getting a day off? Why are they showing up on the injury report? But let them rest, man. You got to get it in when you can. Like, I feel like it's just one of those things where, you know, you gotta understand, like, the guys, you have guys on your team who aren't spring chickens anymore. So, you know, guys like BG and Fletch need a day off. Give them a day off. Like, who cares? Like, I just want them fresh for Sunday.
Yeah. Finish up. That's how we should finish up the show. What are you taking the Eagles Sunday? You doing money line? You doing +3? You taking San Francisco money line, San Francisco -3? One bet I took, and I'll probably do something this weekend once we get more prop bets up there and you're able to do same game parlays on FanDuel.
Yeah.
I took on Fox Bet. I had like $5 in there from one of those, you know, free BS bets on there that I got.
Yeah.
I took a, it wasn't necessarily an adjusted spread, but a margin of victory. I took them +875. So it was like they had $5 in my account. So it ended up being for $48, 13 plus margin of victory. I don't think that's impossible. Like, obviously, I think +3.5, if you got that +3.5, I think that's the soundest bet you could have made all week across any football game, whether it's college or the pros. +3 is a little bit more wonky. So we'll see about that.
Yeah.
But I like the +8. I took the 13. I think taking the money line is definitely the move.
I'm a huge money line proponent. So I'm my one bet Sunday is definitely going to be Birds money line. And a bunch of, I mean, I'll do a bunch of prop stuff, but starting off, I'm definitely laying. I think I have like $10 laying around in my Fox Bet thing. So I'll take them and take the money line for sure, though. That's where I'm starting everything at.
Yeah, so I'm looking at this on DraftKings right now, Thursday night. They're +135 money line. So like $10 to win, $13. You're getting money on that one.
Yeah.
So I'm into that. Take Eagles. They have some alternate spreads on FanDuel. You get Eagles -3, +215. I like Eagles -2.5, +170. I think I'd rather take that than Eagles money line.
Yeah, you know what? I stand corrected. I like that. I like that better.
I like that too. Closing up. That went well.
Yeah, I thought that went really well, dude. And I have
that was cool.
This is really, really, really quick for all of our college football hits. Speaking of money line.
Yeah, throw them out there. Throw your college picks. I don't have any right now. So let me see.
I have three ones I'll take. So my three straight money lines. I'm taking PSU over Auburn. I'm taking Bama over Florida, and I'm taking Virginia Tech over West Virginia.
Are those spreads or money line parlay?
Money line parlay. So again, PSU, Bama, Virginia Tech.
Who's PSU playing?
They're playing Auburn in Happy Valley.
Happy Valley. Okay.
Huge weekend. Yeah.
So is Auburn's our favorite, or is Auburn favorite?
I think Auburn's favorite, yeah. Let me check it.
Yeah. I know PSU's probably ranked higher.
Yeah,
let me see. They're inching the top 10.
Yeah. If they win Saturday, like they should. they should at least get them close to the top two. I mean, they look.
Who's
they look
Tech really playing?
They're playing West Virginia.
So that's like a big thing for them though too. So
yeah, some goodie, but I like Vatek.
Those three games are juicy. You know, I don't think neither of us are like, we don't have a college football team. I feel like you probably don't. You know, like you have affinity for certain things. I know you were riding with Georgia for a little bit. I was riding with Oregon when shit was there. But those are three types of games. If you're kind of an agnostic college football fan, it'd be an absolute blast to go to. And just you buy a shirt in a parking lot forever, whoever the home team is, and you root for.
If I was going to the Vitek game, I'd buy a Vitek shirt in the leading up to the parking lot, whatever. Just done and done.
Shout out to Ryan.
Yeah, shout out to our guy Ryan.
All right. Any other nuggets you got?
That's it, man. Our alma mater is playing tomorrow night at Franklin Field, actually.
If the weather is nice, I have a plan to go, but it's weather dependent, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to rain. It's supposed to be crappy tomorrow, but good luck.
Who are they playing?
They're playing Gonzaga Prep, I think.
Is it Gonzaga Prep? Okay.
Yeah. They're both nationally ranked. Should be a really good one. So good luck. Shout out to them. Shout out to our guys. If you guys are around, definitely check it out. But this is us, man. You know, we're gonna have a fun season. We're gonna talk a lot of birds, a lot of betting, and help you hopefully find some ways to win some money on this.
I'm gonna come with the college lines next week. I was unprepared for that.
I'll check out the college lines.
Maybe you do the college lines and I just tail.
Yeah, that works.
And then if I lose, I blame you.
It's cool. Done and done. My little brother does the same thing, so that works for me.
All right. You can follow us on Twitter, obviously. If you're listening to this and you like it, I'm sure you might already do that. I'm @Seamus_Clancy. Zoe, the great Zoe, @tweets_by_Zoe. You already followed, so why am I even saying this? That's it for us. Obviously, leave a review, subscribe. I know the names change on every podcast platform. I checked this week because I was gassing up Dawkins' PR person. When I checked on Monday or Tuesday, this was the 52nd sports podcast on the Apple chart. That's insane. And I'm not just gassing ourselves up. I'm like shouting out the listeners for the downloads and listens and subscribes. That's unbelievable. And obviously those numbers aren't – obviously we have quality that people listen, but those numbers are thanks to those people out there. So I want to shout out all the listeners. Great. And if you're giving this new show on the network – as well as all the great shows. We have so much content this year.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Let's keep building.
Shout out to the whole gang, man. Appreciate everybody's support. Everyone who listens, downloads, folks who tune in and listen to us talk our shit. We love all you guys.
Price just went up, baby.
Big time.
Big time.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.